Lord, may we hear your voice and know your presence amongst us as your people this morning. Amen. It's Good Friday. For many people in our world, Good Friday is nothing more than the start of a long weekend. For a few, Good Friday is a sad and tragic day, if only because all those yummy hot cross buns will soon be out of supply. Only it wasn't that way. In Paul's day, Good Friday was a profoundly shocking event. It was shocking in three ways. It was shocking because of the circumstances in which it occurred. It was shocking in terms of its significance, because this is the chosen way that God puts the world right. It was shocking for another reason, namely because of the kind of community that it would unleash in the world. We can hear the passion story so often that we can miss just how scandalous the story of Good Friday actually is. Just think of the events that surrounded Jesus' death, and you can see this. Picked out in a crowd by a kiss from a trusted friend. What kind of leader doesn't see that coming? He was accused of being a king, but he's got no soldiers. His own people preferred to have a thief and a robber released instead of him. To top it all off, he was executed on a cross. Rome reserved that punishment for a reason: to shame those who were killed. I mean, after all, which Jewish man ever wanted to be naked in public, let alone at the moment of his death? King of the Jews. Well, he was laid in a tomb that wasn't even his. Everyone knows you can't have a martyr, let alone a king, who doesn't have a memorial place. If the circumstances were shocking, its significance was even more so. Paul saw that the crucifixion of Jesus was exactly the wrong way to put the world right. Listen to how Paul explained it to those Christians in Corinth. He says, "The message that points to the Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out." Paul understood the world well. He saw it as a place that was deeply loved, but profoundly flawed. On the one hand, he saw his beloved Jewish people longing for justice. And on the other hand, he saw his Greek friends struggling to live a long and prosperous life. If God was to put the world right, neither group saw the crucifixion as the way of achieving it. Those from a Jewish background, they wanted God's justice done. They wanted to see truth prevail. They hoped and looked for a sign that God would come, just as he did with Moses with the Exodus. An Exodus 2.0, if you will. You remember when the nation gets set free, and by golly, those rotten Gentiles, they get a smiting like nothing else. As for those Gentiles, they believed in wisdom, in philosophy of all things. They thought that people could make the world right by simply thinking their way into it. The world could be put right if only everyone had the right knowledge. And so no one wanted what Paul has to offer. the wisdom of Christ crucified. This news was over the top, simply too scandalous for anyone. To his Jewish friends, the crucifixion was a sign, all right, a sign of weakness. How could the holy and true God ever let himself be killed as a criminal? Surely this was proof that Jesus was a blasphemer, someone who led the nation astray and got just what he deserved. To his Greek friends, the crucifixion was absurd. How can anything immortal die? Besides, how can a guy who gets himself killed be of any help to anyone? That's not smart. That's lame. For Paul, the crucifixion is the hinge of history, where the old world ends and the new world begins. It's not only a sign of God's power, it's a display of God's wisdom, which reveals the true hearts of everyone. For Paul, Good Friday was precisely the way in which God puts the world right. God puts the world right by using the wrong kind of person. Just listen to how the prophet Isaiah understood the servant who would do what is impossible. As God's servant, Jesus was nothing but a scrawny seed. Someone plain and unattractive. Someone looked down and passed over. He was a person who suffered a new pain firsthand. He was someone that we all thought was pretty disgusting, little more than scum. So much so that no one thought twice when he was beaten, when he was tortured, when he was led off to slaughter. The crucified God is a sign, all right. A sign that God does not overcome his enemies by killing them, but by turning them into friends. Through this, God would absorb all the pain, all the distress, all the brokenness, all the despair caused by injustice. Through the faithfulness, through the unwavering determination of Jesus, his willingness to go right to the end. It's mercy and not punishment that has the last word in our world. Crucified God is also deep wisdom, that life, true and abundant life, is not found by taking whatever you can get. No, it's by giving so that others might flourish. Jesus didn't end up on a Roman cross by accident. No, Paul saw that this was God's way of taking onto his own shoulders the cause of the world's black sheep. Why would anyone do this? Why would anyone be crowned with thorns or enthroned upon a cross? For one simple reason. Love. Jesus displays the height and the depth and the breadth of God's love. Through his whole life, he shows it by setting the imprisoned free. Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. But all these signs would pale into comparison with what would happen this day and in 3 days' time. God overcomes his enemies not by killing them, but by turning them into friends through the death of his own beloved Son. This is wisdom. But it's a mystery. It's a mystery to all those enthralled by power. Because those who hold power don't understand love. You could see it when Jesus stood before the leaders like Pilate, who debated the meaning of truth and who sought to use it for their own advantage. Pilate didn't understand love. You could see it when Jesus stood before the authorities, those who wanted to exercise God's justice and who wanted Jesus dead by the end of the day. They didn't understand love. It wasn't power that dragged Jesus to the cross. It was love that held Jesus there. This kind of love is not sentimental. This kind of love is determined. Its resolve is unshakable. It's focused on putting the world right. It's because of love that Jesus goes to the cross so that no one need ever perish. God puts the world right by suffering the worst that humanity has to offer so that we might become our best. Of course, Good Friday is scandalous for one final reason. It gives rise to a disreputable community. Paul says as much when he says to those Corinthians, "Take a good look at yourselves, friends, at who you were before when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many who are influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose women and men from the culture that overlooks and exploits and abuses? God chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies." Paul writes to a community of outsiders and never-do-wells. Some were slaves and some had no reputation at all. They were in business. Some were Jews, others were Gentiles. Many were women, and none of them were impressive. In fact, to the world at large, these were empty people holding nothing of value or importance, which is precisely Paul's point. You see, to take hold of love, you have to let go. To grasp love, you have to let go of the desire to be the judge. To understand love, we have to let go of the desire to have everything figured out beforehand. The scandal of Good Friday is not that God was crucified. The real scandal is that God offers true and abundant life to everyone. But people turn their nose up at it. Well, almost everyone. This small group of Jesus followers in Corinth have let go of their pride, their desire for wisdom, and have found that God is the one who makes them holy and free. The world we live in isn't too dissimilar, is it? It's filled with people who have closed minds and who have hands filled with whatever they can grab. They find Paul's way of life disturbing. But this rich and vibrant life, it's still open. It's still open to anyone and to everyone who will receive it. God holds nothing back. The crucified God still has the power to save and transform lives everywhere. But this mystery of love can only be held by people with open hands and open hearts. That's why Good Friday is so very, very good. It's the beginning of how God changes the world through love. The only question is, are your hands open enough to receive it?